we're deep into the 2012 election cycle now, but let me take you back for just a moment, a few years to 2007. President Obama was facing a tough primary challenge against then-Senator Hillary Clinton. He was not the president yet. But as the old guard of African-American politicians, somebody like Congressman John Lewis, lined up to endorse Hillary Clinton, President Obama gathered some other allies.
You see, this election is not just about who we want, but about who we are. And I want a president who understands that. I want Barack Obama.
That's Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick campaigning for Barack Obama in 2007. President Obama and Governor Patrick belong to a new generation of black politicians, a different generation, and it also includes another Obama ally, Cory Booker of Newark.
If you look at how President Obama has navigated this incredible storm we haven't seen since the Great Depression, it's been incredible, restoring the auto industry, starting to see jobs from going in a steep dive to recovering, seeing the financial industry on a brink and now returning it to stability, and even the housing market is showing signs that it's coming back. So it's a very tough position to lead, but if you're going to be in a game, you don't want to be in a game when you're 40 points ahead, he's a kind of clutch player. Put me in when we're behind and let me catch up.
A new generation of black politician, I said, and that brings with it a lot of things. It's perhaps a new way of governing that distances itself from the traditions and philosophies of the civil rights movement. That's the argument, at least in part, of Emory University professor Andra Gillespie in her new book. The book's called The New Black Politician, Cory Booker, Newark, and Post-Racial America. And Andra Gillespie joins us from the studios of our partner WGBH. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Let's talk about what you call elite displacement here. First of all, why focus on Cory Booker, the mayor of Newark? Why did you choose him?
Well, it all kind of happened organically. In 2001, I met Cory at a talk at Yale Law School. I was a graduate student in political science at the time, and I was just putting my dissertation together. And Cory graciously allowed me to do part of my dissertation on voter turnout patterns in Newark. So I happened to be there in 2002 when he challenged Sharp James for power. The voter turnout question was interesting. It got me a PhD. But it was neat to watch this intra-racial dynamic of an older and a younger black politician running against each other and making very different claims for legitimacy.
And let's talk about those claims of legitimacy, because there's an entirely different storyline for somebody like Cory Booker or Deval Patrick, in fact, and their ideas of what makes them legitimate as opposed to the previous generations. What's the difference?
Older generations of African-American leaders have ties to the civil rights movement. Not all of them do, but many of them do lay claim to having experienced life under segregation if they lived in the South or having participated or witnessed the civil rights movement directly. And so they were socialized into making group-based claims to try to reduce inequality. 40 years, 50 years after the civil rights movement, we see that there's still a lot of inequality left in the United States. And so younger black politicians, especially when they're striving to lead communities of color, are challenging these older leaders because they haven't seen positive results in their communities. We still see high levels of crime. We still see high levels of poverty. We still see high levels of educational inequality. And so they try to bring a certain technocratic competence that, bears fruit from their highly, educations to try to offer new changes and offer new solutions, but they often encounter resistance in their communities because they don't speak the same language that the older politicians spoke and that a lot of constituents are actually very used to hearing.
You're talking to Andra Gillespie of Emory University about her new book called The New Black Politician. You know, Matthew Platt at Harvard argues, and he's not the only one, that if a black politician is ambitious today, in other words, if they want to seek a higher office than the one they're in, they're more likely to distance themselves from the traditional black political agenda, that civil rights generation agenda, and the traditions of supporting black political issues. Do you think that's true?
Well, Matt's a good friend of mine, and in the clutch, it should be noted that on civil rights issues, especially if we're looking at members of Congress, younger black politicians' LCCR scores are identical to older black politician scores. So if we look at an index of stuff on pertinent civil rights issues, most black politicians are going to vote the same. What Matt is referring to and what I've referred to in some of my other work is that younger, ambitious black politicians are more likely to be deracialized, so they're more likely to de-emphasize race and to frame issues of inequality in racially transcendent terms because they are trying to broaden their appeal beyond the African-American community in the hopes of being able to win statewide or national office.
Because they have to attract white voters as well in order to win office.
Right.
But then how does that play out in terms of advancing the issues of the black community?
Well, previously, when deracialization was first conceptualized in the early 1970s, it was assumed that black voters would go along with black politicians out of a sense of racial solidarity. In the case of a city like Newark, where you have multiple black politicians vying for the heart and soul of the African-American vote, you'll see a split in the African-American vote, and it's usually assumed that, well, deracialized black politicians, the younger, more entrepreneurial black politicians, will make that difference up with the non-black vote. Sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't work. So it worked for Cory Booker in 2006. It didn't necessarily work for him as well in 2002. He needed to make deeper inroads in the African-American community. And that might actually force younger black politicians to have to pivot and to think about style and how they frame issues to African-American voters, where it was once assumed that you could take that for granted and try to reach out to non-African-American voters.
And Cory Booker makes a really interesting subject because the way that black politicians were able to seize leadership in Newark to begin with is because of a civil rights issue, because of the riots in the 1960s. And yet you argue that one of the reasons he took over, one of the reasons that he won that election is because, against Sharp James, is because the previous generation didn't spend the time they needed to in training the young and up-and-coming generation. So was the older generation maybe distancing themselves as well?
Well, in many instances, some of the older politicians really thought that they had a few more years before they needed to train younger black politicians. I think they saw that they would stay in office probably another 5 to 10 years, and then they could handpick successors. Younger black politicians wanted to hold office sooner, and so they were less patient, and so they were willing to challenge this other generation. The other thing that older black politicians charge is that the tone in which younger black politicians approached them was perhaps condescending and patronizing, and so it just created lots of personal rifts, which made it very, very difficult for the two generations to really reconcile and come together and work together for solutions for their community. I've spoken a lot with Cory Booker about this issue and other people in Newark, and most of them, I think, really did want to work with older black politicians, but they were surprised when they didn't, when they weren't received as warmly as they had expected to be received.
And we're speaking with Andrea Gillespie about her new book, The New Black Politician. I wonder, in your discussions with Cory Booker, and I have to assume that it's inevitable that he will be moving on to a higher office, I wonder if he thinks of himself as deracialized. Does he?
No, not initially. It was actually really funny. When I interviewed him for the book, I gave him a brief overview of what I would be doing with the book in terms of publication. And so I had mentioned that I was going to be writing a chapter about him in my previous book and edited volume called Who's Black Politics? Cases in Post-Racial Black Leadership. And I told him that the theoretical framework for that particular article was based in an intellectual disagreement I was having with a friend about deracialization. And his first question was, well, what's that? And then I told him, well, I'll wait until after the interview to explain that to you, because I didn't want to prime him for my interview. So it's actually really funny. I mean, people do this naturally. I mean, and in somebody like Corey's case, this is something that comes very naturally to him. This is somebody who's a product of a majority white suburb. This is somebody who was educated in majority white institutions. So he's very comfortable in multiracial environs. And so for him to reach out to non-blacks is something that comes naturally to him that might not come as naturally to other politicians, including some of his and my generation, who were raised in much more homogeneously black environments. But it was really interesting to kind of explain to him the theory of what it was that he was doing as I was observing him.
And I wonder, Andrea, do you think that this means, with this new generation of new black politicians, as you call them, does that mean we'll see more of them in elected office?
Well, that's the expectation. One of the things that we've learned in the last couple of years is that just because we have this new group of young black politicians doesn't mean that they're naturally going to be more successful than previous generations of black leadership. So part of The New Black Politician is a little bit of a cautionary tale. There are those who will lose office because they can't win over enough African-American votes, and they need to be mindful of that in terms of cultivating support in African-American communities. There will be those who will prove to be just as unsuccessful in terms of ameliorating inequality in their communities. And there are those who don't have the same resources as Cory Cory Booker. And so their political style and how they develop their cachet and reach out to voters both in the African-American community and outside of the African-American community needs to be very different. So, you know, Cory Booker is not unusual. There are a number of politicians who are just like him. But if you don't have the same resources, then you probably shouldn't challenge African-American politicians in the same way.
Andrew Gillespie is the author of the new book, The New Black Politician, Cory Booker, Newark and Post-Racial America. She's a professor at Emory University. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You can get more information on Andrew Gillespie or her new book. You can visit thetakeaway.org for that. And also participate in the conversation. We're having advice for college grads looking at the 2012 job environment and getting a little bit worried. We've got pep talks and sobering advice from people at thetakeaway.org. I'm John Huckenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.